Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Been talking Patriots all hour one long. And we're going to continue that here with a little bit more draft talk for you and give you our ideal scenarios for draft night for the New England Patriots.
I'm just doing the first two rounds, just
perfect.
So you know.
Yep, I think that's great.
Beyond that, I'm not going into that.
Yeah,
you got John Lyons doing 7-round mock drafts. You can find that on WEI.com. I'm not doing that on air today.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that, Mego. I think that's fine. I went into the third round, so I hope that's okay.
Yeah, I love that for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And so let's begin, Mego, with round one, pick four. We'll assume the draft starts Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, because that seems to be where we're at currently in the NFL. How do you have the Patriots operating at pick number four?
Okay, so first of all, we're already on different pages because we're talking about ideal situations.
True. Okay, fair. Okay,
so
fair point.
So in this ideal situation at the number three spot, the New York Giants have operated the way that many teams operate in the draft, which is they do decide to take a quarterback there.
Okay.
I'm not going to even get specific if it's awesome. Shedeur Sanders, if it's Jackson Dart. They decide that they're taking a quarterback there.
Okay.
And so you get Travis Hunter at four.
Oh, so it goes.
In the ideal world, yeah. Okay. So it would go Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, quarterback X, let's just say Shedeur Sanders,
yep.
Whatever. And then you get Travis Hunter.
Awesome. Okay.
So you're at the four spot. You get Hunter. You get your blue chipper. You run away with it. Good for you for taking Drake May the year before because you didn't have to be quarterback needy in this draft. And it was a much better value. Well done. Hopefully he plays wide receiver for you.
Awesome. Okay. And then how do you have them operating in the second round?
This is where it gets a little squirrelier to me.
Okay.
Because obviously you still have the left tackle need. You haven't executed in this world. You haven't executed any kind of trade deal with anybody else to try to get a bona fide left tackle. So I'm looking at Josh Connerly Jr. And nice. The scary thing to me here is I'm sure, Shime, you're like even much better versed in this than I am. Recent mock drafts that I've seen out there has Connerly going late in the first round.
They do.
So the Patriots have to pull off a trade to get back into the very late stage of the first round. Maybe they're trying to get into that like 29-30 spot. And so they give up a second and a third rounder of this year's draft to get into that round, to get back into the first. Maybe even have to give up a little bit more to get your left tackle, Josh Connerly Jr. And again, hopefully, even though he's young, you can develop him into being a starter for this season.
Okay, so you have the Patriots on draft night taking Travis Hunter at four. He falls to you at four.
On the first night of the draft.
On the first night of the draft, you get Travis Hunter at four, and then trading back into the back half of the first round there and getting Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle out of
Oregon. Yeah, I'd say like the back fifth, not even the back half. Like very last stages. If he's still hanging out around there, you move heaven and earth to get back into that first round.
Okay, so you and I have very similar perspectives in the later portion of the first round. However, the beginning of my draft is different. I have the Patriots trading out of four, trading down to nine, and taking Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State, at nine overall.
You're taking a running back?
At nine overall. Because by moving from four to nine.
Bill Belichick is laughing his ass off from Chapel Hill. Saying, I've been in that Sony Michel space.
Moving from four to nine, you get enough draft capital that then allows you to trade back into the first round.
Ooh.
From the second round.
Ooh.
Because now you have two second round picks, a couple third round picks. You got your couple fifth round picks thanks to Joe Milton.
You're trying to get in the meat of this draft, which everyone says is really those middle rounds.
Yeah, exactly. And so so what I'm going to do is, so I got Ashton Jeanty at nine, and then I'm going to trade back in at 28 with the Detroit Lions.
Woo!
And that's where I'm going to scoop up Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
Okay.
So you like Connerly. I would prefer
Josh
Simmons.
Josh and Josh.
Yep, same thing. I understand.
Either way, it's
going to
be
Connerly.
Drake and Josh on offense.
Bingo. Yep. We're going to add a Josh to left tackle. I think Simmons is, there's some injury questions there, but I think he's worth it. I think he's a really good football
Vrabel
player.
Vrabel was at his pro day too, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Ohio State guy, he's got a lot of intel there.
100%. And so because of that trade back from 4 to 10, you do have a second round pick. So you're still picking in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second round, at pick 39 is where they would be. I would take Nick Skorton from Texas A&M, pass rusher. He's really, really athletic. I think they need this kind of guy. He's a little bit more situational than your, you know, every down pass rushers like a Abdul Carter. But when you're getting later in the draft, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get the perfect player. But I like Skorton. I think he would be a huge asset to this defense on third downs. So I like getting Skorton to play edge from Texas A&M. And then in the third round, I would have them grabbing wide receiver Trey Harris out of Mississippi. Just to add to that, you need another weapon. You need another guy who can come in and try and compete
Talk
for
to
a
me
job.
About this Trey Harris kid, because I don't know him.
Let me pull up the old profile for you. So
tell
I
me who he
this.
Is.
So he is from Ole Miss. He is 6'3", 210 pounds, so a bit of a bigger guy.
Okay.
He runs routes really well.
I was
going to
say, does he move, or is he one of these, you know, just big, hefty N'Keal Harry types?
So he's not. And so,
is he a big stiff?
So I would like to first say this. He's not N'Keal Harry. I hate that.
Big guy always equates to big, stiff N'Keal Harry.
And it infuriates me. If they're not really fast and they're not a little bit smaller, then they're big and slow like N'Keal Harry. Not always the case. Trey Harris is 6'3", 210 pounds. He runs a 4.5 40.
Okay.
So he can like move. He's not blazing fast. He's not Matthew Golden 4.29 speed, but he can run. His 10-yard split was 1.56, which is really good. Has like a 39-inch vert, 10.5-inch broad jump.
What kind of receiver is he, though?
Like a possession receiver.
Okay.
So he is, I don't want to say like a poor man's version of Tet McMillan, but that's kind of the direction I would go. He is more in that possession style. Very T. Higgins ish.
Okay.
That type, again, I don't want to say that he's going to be T. Higgins coming right
out
of college.
Like, does he play outside?
Yes.
He is your pure
X receiver on the outside, which I think works because that allows Steph Diggs, when he's healthy, to kind of play anywhere.
And to live in the slot if he has to.
He can play in the slot. He can play on the outside. You can move Steph Diggs around, which I think is beneficial for him. Trey Harris can stick primarily on the outside. Then you also have Pop Douglas, another guy that likes to be on the inside, and then you can utilize your tight ends.
You have
as
a lot
well.
Of guys who so. Can be on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have a lot of those boundary guys, which I think Trey Harris would bring. So that's kind of the direction I would go. I would trade down from four to nine, get Ashton Jeanty, come back into the first round, get Josh
Simmons.
You just
got spoils of riches.
Skorton. That's the kind of. So here's the thing with this draft. I think is best case scenario for the Patriots, just from a 10,000 foot view when you're not talking about specific players, is you want to get as many players as you can in the early rounds.
You're doing like a spray and pray early on.
Sure, a bit of a spray and pray, but more so just like it is quantity versus quality sometimes, especially after those blue chip players. And I consider Ashton Jeanty a blue chip player.
Yeah, but he's, again,
so
this is like,
I understand it's a running back.
Right,
but
this is what I was talking about.
That's why
about,
you're trading down to nine.
Like in the last hour, this is what I was talking about where I love the idea. I get excited every time I hear somebody from the Patriots say, we're going BPA, we're going best player available, because it's like, yes, your roster sucks. You need talent. You need really elite talent. And then I hear that it's not a premium position, and I feel like I'm a walking contradiction.
But I think it's becoming a premium position again.
Running back?
Yeah.
Why? Because of Derrick Henry and because of
Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry and Jahmyr Gibbs. And I mean,
But the reason that those guys can do what they do is because you filled the premium positions elsewhere on the field.
That's not necessarily true.
That's the truth with Saquon Barkley. When Saquon Barkley was on the Giants,
sure,
he was still Saquon Barkley, and he didn't move the needle for them.
The Lions have been doing this with guys not named Jahmyr Gibbs now for years, with David Montgomery and Jamal Williams before that. And like they, it's, you just establish a culture. And Mike Vrabel wants to run the football. The best way to do that is to get a legitimate stud in the building. You're also getting an offensive lineman, so it's not like you're completely kind
of neglecting that area.
And so you add two young rookies to your offense that I think help take some of the pressure off your young quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the goal.
Honestly, I just am still, I love, like I wrote about this last year, I love the resurgence of running back. I think that they should be higher valued, and it is tough what that position has gone through over the last couple years. There's still something about me that feels allergic to trading out of the four spot to get a running back.
So let me repackage it for you.
Okay.
What if the Patriots trade down to nine and take, let's say they take Armand Membu at nine. So they get another tackle. Question marks if he can play left tackle, but a legitimate tackle, right? They get Armand Membu at nine. Then they also trade back into the first round. And at 27, you're taking Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina. Is that a better package to you?
Just
kind of reshuffled a little bit?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Okay.
Because you're getting the tackle higher. So.
I really like Omarion Hampton. I think he is a phenomenal prospect. He might... I mean, I think he could be as good as Ashton Jeanty. I think they're both tremendous. So if Hampton somehow slides into the late 20s and you're able to pull that off, like I'm so in. I'm so all over that. I think that's a great, great idea. Let's go to Dan in Rhode Island, wants to talk about the Pats draft. What's up, Dan?
Hello, Megan. How you doing, Chris?
What's up?
I am definitely from the, for at least from Alliance, Penny Sewell before Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously.
Okay.
That's where you have to start. But I agree with you both that, you know, trading down, trading up is the ideal way to go, because probably Will Campbell to the other guy, what's the spread? Is it really that much of a difference? Probably not. At least that's from what people say. But, you know, you're right about round 3, 4. They have to hit home runs later in the draft, not just rounds 1 and 2. They need to get 2 to 3 starters a year for the next 3 years. Don't you think that's probably the best way you can build this thing moving forward, around the guys that you have also signed? And then 3 years from now, you have a really good nucleus of a team, and then you can really add, you know, the David Montgomerys, the Stephon Diggs from 3 years from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where they need to be.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. That's kind of why I feel like the ideal approach is to gather as many assets as you can from the, you know, not quite maybe number 4 in first round, but right around that 9, 10, 11 area and into later in the first round and into the second and third round. I think that is the sweet spot for the Patriots, because they may not be all pros or Hall of Famers, but they're legitimate NFL starters. I think you can get in that range that they can immediately plug into their roster and start right away.
Yeah, I like, maybe it's because we're getting into the lunch hour now. I'm thinking about it like you're building yourself a big sandwich.
Okay, I'm into
this.
And
you got the bread. It's like the bread is maybe not the best bread in the area.
Yeah, maybe just like a white bread.
What you're really going for is like, yeah, you got 2 pieces of like run-of-the-mill sourdough on either side, but the meat's in the middle.
Yeah.
And you're stacking it.
Yeah.
And that's how you should go about this draft. I like that idea.
Yeah, just because, like, you're in most scenarios, and in your ideal scenario, you get one of them, but I think in a lot of realistic scenarios, you're not going to get one of those 2 blue-chip players. Mm-hmm. And then where do you go from there? And to me, it's about, again, like, I think this draft is more about quantity than it is quality. I think all these guys are capable NFL players that may not just end up being Hall of Famers. You may get like a lot more Nate Solders and not necessarily a bunch of, you know, Orlando Paces is kind of where I'm at. 617-779-7937. Steve in Maine wants to talk about the draft. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Mego, great lead into me. I love the sandwich analogy because one of the things is probably no one wants to help the Patriots at all. So we're going to be probably stuck at number four. And Travis Warren is a perfect guy for number four because he does more than one thing. He was a high school quarterback. I've been a Penn State hard O for my entire life since the Blackledge, Warner days. And he is specifically perfect for the Patriots because that's what made Gronkowski great. It wasn't just that he could catch, but he can block. This is a huge man. He's great on the chip. And he's perfect with Wallace, the guy we already drafted. He didn't really get a good chance to have good coaching. And that's what our offensive coordinator is going to do now.
All right, Steve.
If we get stuck at four, don't panic.
Okay, thanks for the call. Mega, where are you on the idea of taking Tyler Warren?
I know Curran loves Tyler Warren, and he talked to him. I haven't listened to his podcast yet. Well, of course, Wiggy loves
him.
He's a tight end. Yeah, it's the community of tight ends. It comes back to, like, is that the premium position?
No.
If you're doing best player available, perhaps there's an argument, just like with Ashton Jeanty, that he would be best player available. You could talk me into that. And you have two really good tight ends right now, and they're both not long for the roster. They're going to be aging out in Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper soon enough. So it's an area of need for you as well. It's just, I'm not in love with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I think people are severely overrating the tight ends this year just because of what Brock Bowers did last year, when history will tell you first-round tight ends aren't that great. Kyle Pitts, Dalton Kincaid, like, you name them, they all kind of stink. Like, they're all kind of fine. They're not worth taking in the first round. As good as they might have been in college, like, great. Brock Bowers is the exception. There's always exceptions because those guys are just built different sometimes. And Bowers was in the perfect scenario on a team that didn't have a ton of great pass catchers, and they just filtered all the balls to him. And it worked out for him, and he's really good. But I don't think Tyler Warren is like that. Like, there are some people, I can't remember. It was somebody at The Athletic. I want to say it was Nate Tice. It might have been Dane Brugler. Was making the argument that Colston Loveland is actually better than Tyler Warren. And so if there's not even a consensus that Tyler Warren's the best tight end, why am I taking a tight end at four? Like, I don't think these guys are going to get taken until 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, in that range. So to me, it is absolutely not worth taking.
Yeah, I understand that argument. Again, it's like premium position, and then are you really just talking yourself into it? And I understand why Patriots fans are really excited about it, because you had maybe the greatest tight end in the history of NFL, at least arguably a top three tight end in Gronkowski. But to your point, Shime, you didn't get him in the first round. So maybe you can find, it's another thing where you look at that position and you go, can be a really impactful position on the field, something that you want, something that you've lacked in the draft and over a decade, but maybe you can find it elsewhere.
It was Nate Tice at Yahoo, not The Athletic, my bad. Nate Tice's article, Tyler Warren versus Colston Loveland. I highly recommend you go give it a read if you like both of those guys. Let's go to Pete in the car, wants to talk about the draft. What's up, Pete?
Hey, doing well. I think you've got it nailed where if Carter is not there at four, you got to trade back. I love Membu. I think the guy's going to be actually a terrific tackle. I think he can play the left side. His comp is Jason Peters, and you got to remember, this kid's not even 21 yet. If you look at his body, like, there's no fat on him. He's 335 with, like, zero fat, and he can really move. And then I do like the trade-up scenario, but honestly, I think you can just sit there. I think that the meat of this draft, using the sandwich analogy, so many really good Nate Tice players, or I'm sorry, not Nate Tice, Nate Solder players, that you win a lot of games with those players. And so the more you can get picks between 20 and 90, absolutely. So if your right guy's there at 9, go down again. get more picks between 20 and 90. I think that's going to be what this roster needs this year.
Thanks for the call, Pete. Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at as well. I think the meat of the draft here is that end of the first round, second round, third round. You get as many guys as you can in those rounds and call it a day.
Now I just want a sandwich.
Yeah, same here.
I just really want a sandwich.
617-779-7937. It's time for Mego and Shime to switch gears. It's time for some Celtics talk. But first, Zach's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Rough night for the Red Sox in Chicago. Last night, they fell to the lowly White Sox 11-1 in an ugly one on the South side. 5 errors committed by the Sox as they now lead all of baseball with 19 in just 15 games. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say after the game.
Bad night overall. You know, like, we didn't hit, we didn't play defense, we didn't pitch. So, you know, turn the page, be ready for tomorrow. But we just got to be better.
They'll look to be better this afternoon with Richard Fitz taking the mound opposite old friend Martin Perez. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Coverage starting at 3:10 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman will have the call of the game. First pitch from Rate Field at 4:10. Celtics beat the Charlotte Hornets 130-94 last night over at the Garden. Peyton Pritchard led the way with 22 points. They were, of course, without Jaylen Brown as he continues to nurse a right knee injury. And according to ESPN, he received a pain management injection this week. He is still expected to be ready for the playoffs. Celtics will wrap up their regular season slate tomorrow afternoon, hosting those same Charlotte Hornets. Tip off from the Garden at 1. Bruins heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow for the penultimate game of their season, taking on the Penguins. Bees currently sit as the fourth worst team in the NHL, which gives them a 9.5% chance at landing the top overall pick. Puck drop at PPG Paints Arena set for 3:30. Round 3 of the Masters underway at Augusta. Justin Rose leading the way at 8-under. Bryson DeChambeau sitting in second at 7-under. And Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors both at 6-under round out the top 3. Reigning winner Scottie Scheffler is tied for 5th at 5-under. Finally, the Boston University Terriers going for a national title tonight in St. Louis. They're taking on the Western Michigan Broncos in the Frozen Four final. You can hear coverage of that one over on WEEI 850 AM. Puck drop at 7:30. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shime coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This is Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Mego and Shine here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Talked a lot of Patriots for the first hour or so of the program, but now it's time, Mego, for some Celtics. Your Boston Celtics played the Charlotte Hornets. Was that last night, correct?
Yep. Last night. Tomorrow.
And they play again tomorrow. As you, as we talked about off air, they will not be playing any of their starters tomorrow. Be sitting everybody as they get ready for the
JD
playoffs.
JD Davison getting the call up. Good for him.
Yeah, he got a two-year contract just a couple hours ago?
Yeah.
Nice. Congrats to JD Davison, the G League MVP.
There you go, bud.
Good for him. But as the Celtics gear up for the playoffs, one of the major concerns with this team is always health. That's been kind of the question mark all season. Will they be healthy for the playoffs? The guy in question, not Kristaps Porzingis, instead, Jaylen Brown, has been dealing with a knee injury for a while now, and there is actually an update now to his knee and what he's been going through, correct?
Yeah, so Ramona Shelburne had this report that he's received pain management injections in his right knee in an effort to be ready for the playoffs, and he's expected to be ready for round one of the playoffs. Of course, if you haven't been following, Jaylen Brown has clearly been dealing with something in that knee over the last couple of weeks and had said that it was reported as a bone bruise, mm-hmm. a contusion, but a bone bruise.
Yeah, we had that discussion on air, bone bruise versus contusion.
So to me, this is interesting because I have been wondering behind the scenes when he was playing, because obviously now he's resting. He took last night off and there was this whole thing around, oh, is he going to get the 65 game minimum? Why is he trying to play through it in the Knicks game when he played 21 minutes in that game on Monday and looked pretty dreadful? Definitely didn't look like himself. So to me, the question was he trying to see what he could tolerate pain-wise? Was he playing in that game not necessarily for the 65 game minimum, but to see where he's at in terms of pain tolerance? Has someone behind the scenes told him playing on this is not going to make it worse, or it's not going to make it dramatically worse? You can play through it. It's about what you can tolerate. And now that he's getting pain management injections in his right knee, look, you never want to hear about guys getting pain management injections. But maybe that indicates a little more that that's the case, that this is not going to be something that can turn into a stress fracture or something more dramatic that then he has to deal with through the entire playoffs. Maybe it is a pain management thing, which I think would be best case scenario for him. Mm-hmm. I still think it comes down to, do you really need him in round one of the playoffs?
Probably not. But my bigger question is, like, this has been going on for a while. Why hasn't he just been like, why didn't he just take March off? Why? Like, I guess that's kind of my bigger question is, why weren't they more proactive in trying to get this healed and resting him? Or maybe it was him demanding to play and just fighting through it anyways. But like, why isn't cooler heads prevailing and be like, dude, you're hurt. We just need you for the playoffs. Like, the regular season's fine. It doesn't matter. We're going to be the second seed anyways. It doesn't really matter. Sit out for a month and then come back and be healthy for the playoff run. Like, that to me is, I guess, a question I don't really understand. Like, why has this seemed to be never been considered?
Well, see, the other side of this with the 65 game minimum is that everybody was wondering, how much does Jaylen Brown care about all NBA honors, and did he really think he had a shot at third team all NBA? And so if you're talking about at the beginning of March, his numbers across the board, his shooting numbers at least, are down from where they were last year during the regular season, and he was snubbed from all NBA honors last year. So I think it's possible. He said that it's possible that in March he thought he was still going to be a candidate for third all NBA honors.
Why does it matter? Like,
he's a prideful guy, man.
I know, but you got to think of it big picture. Like, for him. What's better for his pride, winning another title or making third-team All-NBA?
I'll say, like, he said at the podium to media that he is not focused on All-NBA and the 65-game minimum. So if you take him at his word, which is really all we can do at face value,
definitely.
And that was just a week or so ago, so we're not talking about March, he's saying that that wasn't the priority, okay? So, like, he's saying if that's how you see it, then his priorities are in the right place. So I think it's like important to say that's what he's saying.
Yep.
You got it. If you believe him, that's the case.
Then why did he try and push through this?
He wants to play.
I get it, but it comes to a point.
I know.
Where you're doing more harm than good.
I don't think it really matters what sport you're in. The player's always going to want to be out there.
Yeah,
whether it's
absolutely.
RG3 playing on a leg he shouldn't have been playing
Drake
on.
Drake May wanting to play with a concussion.
Whether it's Zdeno Chara being out there with a freaking cage over his face because his jaw's broken.
Patrice Bergeron playing with a punctured lung.
Always going to want to be out there.
I agree.
I do think that there is a little bit of a misconception where people think it's like Jaylen Brown and Joe Mazzulla talking to each other before the game and Joe Mazzulla being like, okay, Jaylen, you can play. They have an entire exercise science staff, trainers, agents, there's a lot that goes into these decisions about whether he plays or not. To me, pushing forward, whatever reason, I do believe that it could just be that Jaylen wanted to play and he wanted to play through it and he pushed for that. And it's a bone bruise. It's not something that is like a stress fracture. It's not something that is something that maybe he thought wasn't going to get dramatically worse, whatever. The question now is, how much do you play him in the first round? Do you insist through the exercise science staff that he's on some kind of restriction? Because you're going to see Orlando or Atlanta. It's probably going to be Orlando.
Probably.
They're dealing with injuries of their own. You're in a really comfortable spot, and you need Jaylen for the playoffs run.
100%. I think it is imperative now more than ever that Joe Mazzulla, Brad Stevens, take charge and go, look, Jaylen, like, we need you for the long haul here. We need you for the entirety of the playoffs, not just round one. Like, you need to sit this. You need to sit out and, like, let's get through round one. And when the Knicks come to town in round two or whoever it is that you draw in round two, like, then we will reassess and see if you can go. And we need you for those big moments. We don't need you against a team like Orlando or Atlanta, who with a healthy Kristaps Porzingis and Jason Tatum, we're going to roll over anyways, right? Like, it doesn't, those guys don't matter to me. It's when you get to the Knicks or if you face, you know, Cleveland, like, that's when it's like, okay, Jaylen, now we need to push it and see where you're at. But it infuriates me that they didn't do this sooner and, like, they weren't, again, it is upon the coach and GM to make sure that these guys aren't playing and hurting themselves even further. Like you said, every player across every professional sport wants to play. I don't doubt that. I don't think that that's incorrect for a moment. Like, Jaylen Brown wanted to play.
Yeah, I just want to clear it up because I do feel that there are these conversations out there that people say, like, oh, are there a couple million dollars that are on the margin if he makes all NBA?
And he's making $350 million.
He's already got the Supermax.
Yeah.
So I don't think that I don't know, but I believe that that's not in the equation. I believe that it's about him and who he is wanting to be out there night after night after night, and also not looking like somebody who's injury prone and not looking like somebody
who's never been injury prone, right? Like,
here's the only thing that worries me, Shime, is that when the Celtics went through the toughest stretch of their season was Jaylen Brown coming off of an injury that he sustained on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, they were literally win, loss, win, loss, yep. win, loss. We all remember it was a yo-yo. Everybody's looking
they were
around
like
going
12-12 over a 24-game
yeah,
stretch.
Yeah, everyone's
something.
Going, what's going on? And Jaylen wasn't right. And it took a little bit to get back. So I think the indication here that he's getting pain management injections and says that he's going to be available for the first round of the playoffs seems like he's going to try to play through the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, which I think is a mistake, because
but if it's not actually going to get worse.
But can you be certain that it's not going to get worse?
This is the thing with these injuries. We don't know.
And if you rest, it only gets better, right? Theoretically, it only gets better, which means he's more likely to be better for rounds 2 and 3. Whereas if you're playing in round 1, it's not going to get better. You're putting more stress on it. So it may not get worse, but it's definitely not getting better. And so now you're playing through this pain in round 1, round 2, round 3, the finals, instead of sitting out round 1, resting, or sitting out the month of April and March and resting, and you could have been better by now. Like, that's, I think, what frustrates me the most.
I think
there is no foresight here, it feels like.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jaylen has been on teams where guys have been through this before. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis last year in the playoffs. Even going back to 2018 when it was Marcus Smart, hurting his hand because he got mad in a hotel room and punched a picture frame.
So dumb.
God bless Marcus. But coming back in later rounds of the playoffs and giving this big energy injection into the team. It's not like this is the first Celtic who's ever had to deal with this, and that you're in such a luxurious place. Hopefully, fingers crossed that the first round you should be comfortable. Even going into the second round, look, if you see the Knicks, if you see Detroit, I think a lot of people are just writing off Detroit because they know the big names that are on the Knicks.
Yeah,
either of those
Detroit's
are still.
Good.
Either, yeah, Cade Cunningham.
He's awesome.
Either of those are still a pretty nice matchup for you.
Well, yeah, I think as long as Porzingis is healthy and Tatum's healthy, I think you're fine for the first couple of rounds. You will be favored, even if Jaylen Brown is completely absent for the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs. You'll be favored in both rounds, and with a healthy Tatum and Porzingis, and then Derek White and Jrue Holiday, you should beat anybody you play in those first two rounds.
I agree. Once you see, if you see Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then if you get to the finals,
might become a different story.
That's when you need Jaylen.
I completely agree.
You really need Jaylen.
And so you need to weigh the risk and reward here. And I don't see the reward in playing Jaylen Brown in the first round of the playoffs. I don't. Other than understanding exactly how much pain he can push through, mm-hmm. You don't really gain much. And that's it feels like what they've been trying to do in the first couple weeks of April is figure out how much pain he can push through. So if you already know, then let him rest and be as healthy as he possibly can be for the games that truly, truly will need him.
I will say, in favor of that, especially because you ran it back. So this team has
A lot of chemistry.
Aside from not having O'Shea Brissett anymore,
tough.
You've pretty much been through this run before, so it's not like these guys don't have the chemistry with one another and don't know who they'll be in these playoff runs.
617-779-7937. Mike in Boston wants to weigh in on the NBA playoffs. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I was going to talk about this draft that I'm doing, but after listening to you guys about Jaylen and the shoulder, I mean, this wouldn't happen back. These guys are built different. This wouldn't happen in 86. Can you imagine Bird not playing because, his shoulder's sore? These guys are playing through everything. And it just shows you that the way the players have changed. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so I think there's an interesting parallel. First of all, it's Jaylen's knee, not the shoulder. But if you're watching, I was thinking about this with Celtic City this week. If you watch McHale talk about playing in the 87 finals on a fractured foot. Yeah, he's a warrior. He played through that. You listen to his teammates and they say he was never right again. Well, he was never the same after that. So there is a side of this where who knows the extent. This is a bone bruise. Hopefully it's just a pain management thing for Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown is also in the prime of his career.
Well, and Jaylen Brown's trying to play, to his credit. Like, right. He wants to play.
We're sitting here going, don't force it, Jaylen.
No, we're saying the parents should be like, no, Jaylen. Jaylen, sit down and watch. Like, you need to rest. Jaylen Brown wants to play. Like, let this be very clear. Jaylen Brown wants to play through the pain of the injury. He wants to be on the court for game one, round one of the NBA playoffs. We do not want him to be there because we want him to get healthy. We don't want him to have any kind of lasting issues with that knee. It is more important that he is healthy for the bigger games in the playoffs and the remainder of his max contract than it is force his way into round one of the NBA playoffs against a team you should roll over. You should win that series. It should be 4-1 in that series without Jaylen because you're bound to drop game two at home. Lord knows you. Just like you did all last year.
They just like being on the road.
Yeah, they do.
They're road dogs.
Exactly.
Woof, woof.
And so they probably win the series 4-1, and they move on, and it's not even an issue. And that's how it should be. And so we are trying to say cooler heads should prevail, and Jaylen should sit, but he definitely doesn't want to. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. One more segment to go before Rob Bradford takes over right here on WEEI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Mego and Shine here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, taking you up until 1 o'clock. Rob Bradford will take over here, and he will take you all the way up until Red Sox pregame at 3:10 prior to their 4:10 first pitch against the Chicago White Sox today. Mego, let's talk a little Red Sox real quick. Currently 7-8. They have lost four of their last five. Lost last night at the White Sox, 11-1. Not a great game. They just barely avoided a four-game sweep by the Blue Jays at home. Kind of, where are you at currently with this Red Sox team?
So it's kind of like an interesting dichotomy between the clubhouse series, which I know you're not really watching, but it kind of has become, at least through the first couple episodes, besides the Jaren Duran stuff, which is really compelling,
yes,
the Tristan Cassis show. And then meanwhile, we're sitting here in the very early part of the Red Sox season, and it seems like everybody hates Cassis right now because he is just absolutely not contributing offensively like you would expect terrible. In the number four spot. And then he has that boneheaded error, which just looks like, honestly, like he was just completely checked out in a really meaningful point of the game yesterday against the worst team in the major leagues. So I feel like it's a tough beginning stretch for Cassis here.
Very much so. And it's hard because I don't want to overreact. We are only 15 games into the season.
He's already like, so polarizing that when he sucks, people are going to jump all over it.
And I think that's the bigger issue because, again, Rafael Devers struggled to start the season and has since turned it around a little bit. And, like, I think, again, baseball is just, it's such a long season that I'm not willing to get on guys' cases in April when we're not even close. Like, we just started here, people. Like, let's take a deep breath. It is a bit of an ebb and flow when it comes to baseball. Guys get hot, guys get cold, they bounce back and forth, and he'll figure it out. He'll get better, he'll figure it out one way or another. I mean, Craig Breslow is a guy that absolutely believes in Cassis. He said it with us on the air. You've heard him say it. He could be, what, 41-10 is the numbers he's given out. Like, he believes in Tristan Cassis, and like, this team is gonna stick with him. They're not gonna move away from him.
I'd say that why I'm not very concerned right now is because they're such an offensively built team, and it's always tough in April when you're built that way.
Yeah.
So I that's why, like, I'm agreeing with you that it's kind of a pump the brakes moment. I do think about the way that this team is seen by fans right now is really fascinating to me, because coming into the season and certainly opening day at Fenway, there was such a wave of adoration for the Red Sox are back.
So happy.
Baseball is meaningful again in Boston.
There was a buzz on opening day.
This is a baseball town at its core, and this is what we need. We need ownership to be posting stupid photos of lighting cigars and spending money on the payroll and giving out the deals that you need to crochet to actually keep him here, to pay a young guy like Christian Campbell. And everybody is like revved up, and Rob Bradford is hot in the streets throwing t-shirts at everybody. And then there is this little side of like, Dever starts out cold. And then you get Cassis playing like he's playing. And I think that there is this group of fans that's still like, I don't really like those guys.
Well, and
those guys are a little more polarizing than I like Crochet. I like Christian Campbell. I like Trevor Story now that he's healthy again. But there are a couple of polarizing individuals on this roster.
There definitely are. But I also think that it's like, I think there's a little bit of, especially with the games at Fenway, the weather hasn't been great outside of opening day. Yeah, Rob Bradford's jumping into the studio. I heard Bradford on with Jones and Keefe a couple times now. You're on every Thursday, correct?
Yes, McFarland. Yeah.
Every Thursday, brought to you by McFarland.
McFarland to you.
Happy McFarland.
But I walked in here, and first of all, I enjoyed tremendously listening to you guys.
Thank you.
The passion about the draft and the Celtics and the Jaylen Brown and... But then I was walking in here, and I heard you use the word polarizing. I heard you use the word Tristan Cassis. I heard smattering of it. And when I was driving in, I honestly was hoping I would get a chance for a couple minutes to talk to you guys about this.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about Cassis. We're going to talk about the Netflix thing and all of it. But I am a big – I love the conversation about Cassis and how polarizing he is, and is he the most polarizing guy in Boston? And Jaylen Brown, I think, is the guy that comes up first, right? If you're going to say, who are the the most polarizing people in Boston. Athletes, not people. Mm. Obviously, we are the most polarizing people in Boston. But I don't know where you guys stand on this, but I think that probably Cass is at the top of the list.
Number one.
Brown, number two.
Do you think Jalen is that polarizing?
So I don't. I think that what helps him is that he's won a championship. He shouldn't be polarizing. I don't think. I think he probably was earlier.
Prior to the max contract, I think he was very polarizing.
Yeah, yeah. But well, and you go back to that report where they tried to trade him in a deal for Durant, right? Yes. I remember those conversations. Not, I wasn't in the room. I mean, but I remember talking about should they trade Jalen Brown for Kevin Durant. And when you brought that up, you were getting a lot of sort of Tristan Cass's vibe where everyone either loved him or didn't like him. You couldn't trade him from Durant or you could. You know, that sort of – and I do think it has dwindled a little bit.
I think the difference, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, is that if you went to the Garden and you pulled a dozen Celtics fans at the Garden, how do you feel about Jalen Brown? It would be – I love him. Mm-hmm. That's our finals MVP. Mm-hmm. I love Jalen Brown. If you went to Fenway and polled a dozen people about Tristan Casas, I think you'd get three or four people who would be like, it's kind of weirdo.
I also think that plays into how good the team is, right? Like if the Red Sox were just coming off a World Series and Tristan Casas was still being a weirdo, they'd be like, yeah, but he's our weirdo. We won with him.
I think it's the difference between the fan bases, right? Do you think that there's a little bit more skepticism among and cynicism among Red Sox fans, whereas Celtics fans are like, you know, the bleed.
Oh, they're all in, yeah. So, first of all, Mega, it's your prerogative to be wrong, but you're not wrong. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I do think another thing, and we'll talk about this coming up, but I think another one thing with Casas is a demographic issue. I think it's a very real demographic issue.
You're talking about young,
young
older
and
fans.
Old, yeah. and old. I mean, you hear it on the calls coming in here, and I, you know, some people on social media would say, "Oh, like, how dare you call them polarizing?" Well, look up the definition of polarizing. I'm on the air, and we hear it. You hear it throughout the time. You hear
all
it
all the time.
All the time, right? This is the definition of it. It's not saying that I'm a Tristan Casas guy, but I do think that when he's doing poorly, especially the older demographic, they look at the nails being painted, the weird stuff, the sunbathing and all that, and say, hey, though, that's not how Kari Yastrzemski did it, so how dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that's a very real thing when it comes to Casas. And, Mego, I think you're right. I think it's the fan base is it's much more cynical fan base with the Red Sox, I think, than the Celtics. There's no question about it.
Bradfield, thanks for popping
in. Thank you.
It's your turn to hop on. Baseball isn't boring. The Rob Bradford Show right here, brought to you by McFarland Energy. Coming up next on WEEI, Mego, it's been fun. I'll see you next week. Keep it locked right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We'll see you.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD. Pod 1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.